Here we go. Hey, this is the Orange and Blue News podcast. Welcome. We got with us today, we got a guest, Josh Helmholtz. He's the Midwest recruiting analyst for Rivals.com. Tim O'Halloran from Edgy Tim is here to talk about in-state recruiting. And Jim Cotter and Alec Bussey from Orange and Blue News here. Thanks, Josh, for coming on with us. Really appreciate it. This busy time of year with the recruiting class signing this week. Tell me, I know you've looked at the Illinois class. It ranks number 80 in the country, number 14 last in the Big Ten. But what are some takeaways looking at that class from the Midwest perspective?
Honestly, all things considered, I think they have to feel very good about where they sit. They haven't signed too many guys so that the next coach doesn't have room to add what he needs to fit his scheme, to fit his personnel. And yet they have a base. They have a foundation. You have a quarterback there. I mean, to go through a recruiting class and not secure a quarterback is always a problem. So they've got a quarterback. They've addressed some needs on their roster. They have some players there. They have a foundation. It's not a five-man class. It's not a 25-man class. Either of those extremes would have been bad. They're right in the middle. I think they did a very good job. I mean, you've got some good players in here. Brody Weisskopf is a very legit Big Ten caliber offensive lineman. Samari Collier, I know, had a he's not in my region, but I know had a very strong senior season. There's some good players in here. There's some things the next coach will have, opportunities to work with.
I wanted to ask you about Brody Weisskopf specifically. He's the top-rated guy in the class, offensive lineman from Missouri. I know you got to view him in person, right, when he was in St. Louis. And what does he bring to the field? And do you see a position in mind for him? Is he a guard or a tackle? Or what do you see for him position-wise?
Yeah, I got a chance to see him. I saw him at the Lindenwood University camp before his junior season. And then I did see him play in his junior season when he was at DeSmet High School over in St. Louis. He played tackle for them. I know that I like him more as a right tackle, but he could kick in and be an interior guy. He's not super fleet of foot, but he's a decent athlete, and he's a big body kid. He's strong. He's going to be tough to get around for defensive linemen. So I like him probably best in that right tackle role.
Yeah, they went into the week expecting to sign 15. They ended up signing 14, and the guy they didn't sign was the big wide receiver out of CBC in St. Louis, Chevy Brinson. What did they miss on there? What kind of player is he? And is it a big loss for this recruiting class?
Well, he probably had the most upside of anybody in this recruiting class that I've seen, at least. And some of the out-of-region guys, certainly I didn't get a chance to see up close and in person. But he was a late riser, a late bloomer on the recruiting trail, and really saw his recruitment take off. Very athletic kid, I believe a basketball player as well. And he has that kind of bouncy athleticism in it, you like from that outside wide receiver position. So, yeah, I mean, he's a loss. But if that's the – you let your head coach go the weekend before signing day, if that's the extent of your losses, that's a pretty good retention rate.
Right. And, we've talked about this many times over the last 5 years during Lovie Smith's tenure at Illinois, but in-state recruiting in his own backyard in Chicago, St. Louis, they got started a little bit. They haven't gone to Indianapolis. What went wrong with in-state recruiting under the Lovie Smith? And then I'd like Edgy to jump in on the three guys they did sign, the three linemen, Geske, Kreutz, and Bartlev, what they're going to bring to the field. But what do you think kind of went wrong, and how important is that in-state recruiting to a program like Illinois?
Yeah, you and Edgy and I have all talked about this. And I remember, Doug, right after Lovie came in, you had mentioned he looked at the roster, felt it lacked speed, and he was going to focus recruiting down south for that. And largely he did. I think by chance, his first couple of commitments, first probably four or five commitments in that first class were in-state guys. He almost fell into being an in-state recruiting success, but it didn't ultimately end up that way. And he never really put the effort in. Edgy can talk a little bit more to the coaches, and how they felt about Lovie Smith and his program over there in terms of the attention that he wasn't paying to in-state kids, the respect he didn't give to in-state recruits. But the same thing with St. Louis and Indianapolis. They brought in Corey Patterson expecting that would be a boon for them in St. Louis, and all it really got them was Trinity Catholic kids, where Corey Patterson was the head coach previously. But Indianapolis is another really growing area, and it's 2 hours down the road from Champaign. They should absolutely be in Indianapolis, and they're not. And so these are areas that next head coach has to be focused on. You build your foundation of your class in-state, in your region, in your own backyard, and then go cherry-pick those guys in Texas and Florida and California that can help your program. You're going down to Texas, you're not going to be competing with Texas and Texas A&M for those recruits. You're going to be recruiting for, you know, competing against Houston and Rice and SMU, and you're not going to get all those guys. You want the top players, you got to start in your backyard.
Hey, Edgy, if you could jump in on the three linemen that they did sign, and then, as Josh mentioned, if you could talk a little bit about the high school coaches, not so much, you know, the relationship with Lovey, but what it's going to take for this next guy to build those relationships and start doing a little bit better in their own state.
Yeah, let's start there. You know, when you look back at Lovey Smith's era and the recruiting, it, as Josh alluded to, and I totally agree, they kind of almost fell into it early on and just never really focused or wanted to build those relationships. And, you know, it can be a difficult thing because you're never going to please everybody, as we all know, no matter what walks of life. You're not going to make everybody happy. But, you know, at least if the effort was there to at least reach out and talk to maybe some of the major players around the state and be seen and be heard and be in the schools. And it just never happened. And, you know, it almost seemed like there was a wall built up between Champaign and the rest of the state. And Doug, those walls never came down. They just seemed to grow. And so whoever gets the job who comes in, I think that has to be torn down immediately. You've got to get the warm and fuzzy going with the high school coaches, because again, I'm the first one to tell you, I'm a quote unquote homer guy when it comes to in-state recruits, but I also understand to build a winning program, you need a heck of a lot more than just in-state, but you got to have that basis to start with. And right now, Doug and everyone here, the Illini just don't have that right now. And kids look elsewhere. There's many different factors you can look into it. I think extending offers early and trying to get on those kids early on, I think it's going to be focus number one. If I'm hired to the Illinois job, I have my entire staff start contacting coaches across the state. And I find that top 10, 15 kids, and I try to reach out and contact them as soon as possible and start those relationships. As far as the three that were signed in the 2021 class, I mean, I like all three of them. I know that all three of them weren't very highly ranked, and I agreed with that, by the way. So, Josh, way to go, buddy. First time ever I think we agreed on something. But, you know, but what I like about all three, I mean, Kreutz, everyone knows a connection to Olin Kreutz. He's technically sound, as you would expect. I mean, he's going to be a very good offensive center. He's strictly a center from a physical standpoint. But, again, he's a kid that I can see develop down the line. You know, he isn't overwhelming with size, but, you know, skill set and everything else, he has a lot to offer. Jeske and Barlev, a little bit more developmental. I think Barlev, I was really encouraged with Doug. I think we talked about this, had a chance to see him in a couple of workouts here in the winter. And just physically, he's made a lot of progress since a heck of a lot more progress in his junior tape. So very encouraged at the work that he's put in. He has a chance to end up becoming a pretty solid roster guy. And then Jeske's, again, he's a 6'6 kid, really long, really good length, and he's going to be a bit more of a developmental guy. He's probably around 260, 270, has the frame to potentially become a 290, 300-pound guy, and he moves well. He's pretty athletic. But, again, he still has work to do. So I don't see really all of the three becoming immediate impact guys. But, I mean, if you're gonna offer those type of guys, I definitely – see the positives and the benefits that the Illinois staff saw in those three kids. So, yeah, I mean, those are guys that I think can wind up being pretty solid roster guys.
Jim, I know you got a question.
Yeah, well, I was going to let John go first since he had to leave, but I'll ask mine real quick. Tim, I want to expand on that a little bit, what you were just talking about. On a local radio show here this past week, John Holosek, who's the coach at Loyola, was on, and talked about the Illinois staff not being present up at Loyola for the last couple of years looking at players. Now that's, you know, that speaks volumes just to how the turn events have gone with recruiting in the state over the last few years. And to have coaches not even get a visit by, and Loyola's a powerhouse in 8A.
Yep.
So, I mean, to not even get a visit, that's got to tell you that, hey, this next coach that comes in, he's got to do something quick about, expanding the relationships with the coaches in the state, in your home state, because like you said, you go into, or what Josh said, cherry picking, from other states, you're going to get the bottom of the barrel, what's left out of those. And you're not going to compete with the major players in those states for the recruits. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's all about relationships. And I know it sounds really basic to say that, and everyone knows it, but it really does come to that in recruiting. And, a guy that, and I did a video recently, and I use this guy as an example out at Minnesota, Brian Callahan, who's been, he's been at this for a long time, a couple of decades. And he's a guy that has always consistently recruited this state, no matter where he's been coaching. So you get a guy like that, who's been in these schools, and he's a guy that will stop into a Joliet Catholic or a Loyola or a Mount Carmel, even if they don't have kids in the upcoming class. But you sit and you build those relationships and you talk to those coaches. So down the road, they're going to remember you. And it, guys, I'm telling you, it makes it so much easier when you have built up those relationships. And granted, in his case, that's a long time coming. But just making that kind of effort and being seen and listening to these guys, I'm telling you, it goes a long way. Even in our business. I mean, if we didn't like Doug, we wouldn't be in this podcast. And, it's not that hard to do. It's just putting in hard work and getting after it.
Hey, Josh, I got a question for you. I covered Illinois for a long time, and I've had a relationship where I could speak with Mike White a little bit. And Mike White told me once that if anybody that gets hired at Illinois needs to bring some kind of pipeline with him, because Chicago's cut up already so many different ways. And the downstate Illinois sometimes doesn't produce as much as a guy needs. How important do you think it is for somebody to come in and knowing that he does have to build relationships in the state, but also bring a pipeline with him to where he knows he can get some recruits?
Yeah, your backyard doesn't necessarily have to be necessarily just in state. It doesn't necessarily have to be Chicago. Indianapolis is just as close to Champaign as Chicago is. That can be your backyard. St. Louis as well. I think they tried to do that early on with Corey Patterson. It just didn't materialize. It materialized a little bit. You got some, outstanding talents in Isaiah Williams and Reggie Love, but it didn't open the floodgates to St. Louis. And St. Louis only behind Detroit in terms of Midwest talent production over the last 5 years, even better than Chicago, even better than Cincinnati. St. Louis is an absolute gold mine, and a team like Illinois should be pulling out their fair share every time out of there. When Doug had asked me earlier, I can't remember what we talked about it, Doug, but I said the two names that really jump out to me, Marcus Freeman and Jason Candle on that list, because they have those Midwest ties. Marcus Freeman obviously played in Southwestern Ohio, tons of ties over there, but he just recruits the Midwest well. And same with Jason Candle, being at Toledo. He knows he has so many connections in the region. If you go out and you hire a big name, but it's like, let's say Chip Kelly, okay, just to pull a name out of a hat. Chip Kelly doesn't have any ties to the Midwest. I mean, he might be a great football coach, but, how is he going to be able to get the Jimmies and Joes he needs to run his offense when he doesn't, he's got to build that from scratch.
Hey, Ed, what's your thoughts on, if high school football isn't played here in the state, what does that do for University of Illinois recruiting? I mean, I would think that the best kids in this senior class are already taken. What does it do for the juniors and the sophomores who haven't had some exposure? Can that play into Illinois' hands a little bit if they build some of these relationships quickly?
Yeah, I think, John, it's kind of twofold. I mean, first of all, especially 22, we have a pretty good idea who the top guys are. So you're going to know who your top targets are, your top 15, your top 20 that you're going to go after. I guess not playing football here is hurt from, the 6'6", 240-pound kid that could end up being a 300-pounder, or the kid that's put on 30 pounds of muscle since last year, since the last time he played. Those developmental kids that were, and in some cases I'm running across kids that played sophomore level football in 2019, they're completely different looking kids now than they were, you know, a year plus ago. So they'll find those kids are going to be a little bit harder for Illinois. And I think a lot of staffs out there. But I think when it's all said and done, I think at least from the top tier, because let's face it, you're a power five, you're Illinois. Those are the kids you want to hit off right away. I think those are the kids you go after. As far as being an advantage to Illinois, yeah, I'll go back to building those relationships. That's, John, where you're going to dig out some gems. Those coaches are going to lead you to kids and say, hey, Coach XYZ, this kid, you know, only played sophomore last year, but he's grown 5 inches, put on 40 pounds. No one knows about this kid. And hopefully I hear about him first. If not, then your coaches will hear about him after. But, yeah, John, you're right. That can definitely be a big positive for programs that are able to build up those relationships. And hopefully the new staff at Illinois is able to get that done.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I'm sorry I got a roll, but I love both of your work. Great job you guys do. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Hey, Josh, I got a question for you. You know, a little bit earlier you mentioned getting the best players. I think, at least in my eyes, when Lovey was at Illinois, he seemed to maybe prioritize a three-star prospect from Texas or consider that player better than a three-star player from Illinois. Can you kind of elaborate on that kind of thought process or mindset that he might have had?
Yeah, I agree that I think he did do that. And I would say it should actually be the opposite. And I'll explain why. I've covered, you know, college football recruiting since 2003. I covered Adrian Peterson coming out of Palestine, Texas. Adrian Peterson was a five-star. But you know who else was a five-star? Laquan Treadwell out of Crete Moni and Jalen Smith out of Fort Wayne. There are five stars in Illinois, in Michigan, in Indiana. There are just not as many of them as there are in Texas or in Florida. There are a lot more. The concentration of talent is definitely heavier in those areas, but so is the competition for those prospects. So you might be able to – are you going to have a better chance of getting a – you know, let's say a 5.8 four-star prospect from Crete Moni or one from Miami, Florida? I mean, the answer is obvious. And the other thing is you're going to have the things, and the reason why I say a three-star from Illinois is more valuable to the University of Illinois as compared to a three-star from Texas is because that three-star from Illinois, he knows your program. He knows your traditions. He grew up around alumni. He knows what it means, what the university means to the people of the state. And he's also less likely to transfer because of the proximity to home. So his value, a three-star in Illinois is just as good as a three-star in Texas. We see them all. I go all around the country to evaluate these prospects. There are just more of them in Texas. The concentration is heavier, no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that a 5.7 three-star in Texas is better than a 5.7 three-star in Illinois. And I would argue that for the, you know, for University of Illinois, that 5.7 three-star in Illinois is more valuable because of those things I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and I would like to reiterate on that. And, you know, one of the things that we do at Rivals is we have camps. So we didn't have them this year because of the coronavirus. But, you know, when you go to a camp in Miami and you go to a camp in St. Louis, you're evaluating the kids based on the same criteria. You know, it really is a misnomer. And I agree with Josh 100% that three stars in Florida or Texas are better than guys up in the Midwest. Just not the case. And I think that Lovie Smith thought it was, and he felt more comfortable going after Florida speed and all that kind of stuff, but really didn't work out for him. So Josh, you know, getting into let's talk about the new guy coming in. All right. Guy gets hired at Illinois, which is a tough place to win. We've seen that over the years. Tough place to recruit. What does he do on day one when he walks in the door to try to get things going recruiting-wise?
Well, if you're talking from a recruiting perspective, you know, it's what Edgy talked about earlier, what you guys had been mentioning earlier. You reach out to those top high school coaches around the region. I give a call out to Darren Sunkett over at East St. Louis. I give him a call. I say, hey, how you doing? I want us to have an outstanding relationship to start this off with. And give me a call. Here's my cell phone number. Let me know what you need. I give a call up to Naperville Central, Glenbard West, you know, Nazareth Academy. I want those in-state coaches to know I care about their kids. They are a priority for my program, because that type of foundation was, you know, what was not set with Lovie Smith. And like, as we've highlighted many times here, crucial to having top success. So even more so than reaching out to individual prospects, yeah, I'd put Chevalier Brenson on the phone and make sure we told him, hey, we love what you bring to the table. We really want to get you back in the fold here. But more so, I'd lay that foundation. If I'm a high school coach, if I'm Darren Sunke, and on the day that, you know, Illinois names its next head coach, I get a phone call from him, that's going to set an outstanding precedence for recruiting that program going forward.
Yeah, I think one of the complaints of fans over the years was at Illinois, they go to these schools and they ask their coaches to steer their top players to the University of Illinois, in many cases, the flagship university from the state. But those coaches want to send their second and third tier players to Illinois first. And what do you think about that strategy for Illinois? Should they be taking players from these guys, as part of a plan to build relationships with them, or should they just be going after the top tier kids?
You know, that could be done on a small level, but honestly, the way the 25 initial qualifier number is now, you don't have a lot of spots to waste, you know, quote unquote waste. Sure. I mean, you got a guy who you see, hey, he could help us in some way. Maybe it's at most special teams and some spot duty, but getting him is going to help us recruit 3 to 4 to 5 other kids that we really want. Sure, that's you know, you can see the value in maybe possibly doing that. The problem is, no, I mean, you're not going to take 10 middle-tier kids to get 2 or 3 top-tier kids. I don't think that's a sound strategy for any program.
Yeah, I'll chime in on that too. I agree. Again, I go back to what I said earlier. You're not going to please everybody. You're just not going to. You're going to have those discussions with coaches and you're going to butt heads on it. But I think the fact that as long as you're listening and you're taking a look and you're giving those coaches a fair evaluation and you're letting them know if they want to know why you didn't offer this kid. You know, I think also you got to stay true to your board. And if it's a equal between maybe an in-state kid and out-of-state kid and they're very similar, I can see where we mentioned you might lean towards that kid, but it's got to prove out. If it doesn't, Doug, then, you know, that's obviously one of the fun parts of the job is having those debates and dealing with those coaches. But I think the coaches at least would understand if you're being honest with them and, you know, you give them a reason, they might not like it, but you know what, you're communicating more just through that discussion than I think Illinois has in many years.
You know, I would go specifically to East St. Louis High School and say that's been the toughest nut to crack. And Illinois took Stanley Green, he's a good safety, but he wasn't their top player at East St. Louis. They took Kenny Knight, a linebacker who plays a little bit of nickel for him, but didn't really work out for him. What do they got to do? You know, I'd like to hear from Josh and Edgy both. And what do they got to do, you know, to get on the good side of Darren Sunkett there at East St. Louis High School and start to pull some of those recruits, because that's a hotbed for talent and it's close to home. They really got to get in that school. What do you think the next guy has to do to build that relationship with Sunkett?
Well, like I said, I think it comes down to that communication and that respect. If you go in there and you know, and he starts trying to pawn off kids that should be Division II or FCF kids on you, you got to be honest with them. You got to, you know, honesty in that relationship. I spent a lot of time around Darren Sunkett. You know what I mean? He has his own opinions and obviously the next coach at Illinois is going to have his own opinions. If you're honest with a coach like Darren Sunkett about that, he's going to respect that. You don't have to take his, you know, bottom of the barrel guys in order to, you know, make a pipeline from Champaign to East St. Louis. But you absolutely, you know, be honest with him and show him that you respect his kids, that they're the priority. If you're spending, you know, 20 hours in Texas and 1 hour at East St. Louis, he'll notice that, you know, and that's not going to be very well. And I want to reiterate, I'm not advocating for only recruiting your backyard, but that's where the foundation of your class should be. You should be able to count on 6, 7, 8 guys from the state of Illinois, at least the state of Illinois, within that 3-hour circle of your campus that, you know, every class you're building on that, and then you go out and you get, you know, cherry pick some guys that you might have some relationships with elsewhere, or be able to grab somewhere else. And it doesn't have to be the only strategy. It just needs to be that foundation to build a class on. I've actually been on Michigan radio a lot this week, and keep getting asked a question about the University of Michigan. They sign top 10 classes all the time. Why are they not winning games on the field? Well, the problem is Michigan doesn't recruit but a handful of guys, and in their own backyard, they've averaged like 3 in-state commitments over the last, you know, 3 classes, and it's been the 3 most talented classes I've ever seen out of the state of Michigan. Their roster is made up of guys from Massachusetts and California and Florida and all these other places. Well, when you bring all those types in, you've got to mesh those personalities. And when you don't have the team chemistry to be able to do that, when you don't have the foundation in your locker room that those kids who understand your traditions, that have been around your program, that know what it means to play football at Illinois, then you're going to lack that ability to turn talent into on-field production.
Yeah, it seems like going into Michigan and not recruiting Michigan's a little bit like coaching basketball at Indiana and not recruiting the state of Indiana. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think they, you know, we've seen more than one college basketball and football coach fail to succeed because they didn't do what they needed to do in their home states. Happened a lot. Alex got a question, I think.
Yeah, this is probably for both of you, Tim and Josh. You know, we've seen Eli Drinkwitz have a lot of success getting into East St. Louis in just his first cycle with Dominic Lovett and Tyler Macon both committing and now, I believe, signing to East St. Louis this week. Can Illinois' new head coach take something out of Coach Drinkwitz's book, I guess, and finding success and getting into East St. Louis?
Yeah, like what has Drink done since he's come on as the head coach at Missouri? He has made it very clear, not just individually, and he has, I know from talking to the coaches over there, he went out and he saw Carl Reed at Lutheran North. He went out and saw Darren Sunken and made sure those guys knew you got a priority. But he's talking about it in the media. He says, our in-state guys, the Show-Me State guys, the state of Missouri, St. Louis, Kansas City area guys, they are important. They are the focus of our recruiting efforts. He's done it in, you know, in practice, going out and seeing those, and he's done it, you know, verbally and publicly by making sure he says it out in the media, make it clear.
Yeah, I alluding to East St. Louis, and guys, I can tell you from the various camps and showcases I've covered this this summer and this fall and early into the winter, you're going to want to camp out at East St. Louis because I'm telling you what, they have a slew of underclassmen names. That pipeline's not drying up anytime soon. So you definitely want to get things going at East St. Louis. I'll add on to what Josh said. I mean, I tell you what, Sunk is probably one of the more straightforward guys you're going to run into. He's going to tell you what he thinks. But again, I think he's also fair and he understands that, hey, you're not going to end up offering every kid that they have. And I think it goes back to just building that relationship and continually working it, being honest with it. And that goes for other schools as well. It's something that, and the other thing that I think needs to be touched upon, you mentioned East St. Louis being considered in-state. I think that has to, that approach has to be the same with Illinois. You know, you're not that area just outside of St. Louis. You're part of us. You're part of the state of Illinois, and bringing that ownership and saying, hey, you're one of ours. You're not one of theirs. You're one of ours. And really, really just starting to kind of shake the earth loose and say, you know what? Hey, we're going to fight tooth and nail to keep these kids here. And again, putting the effort in and really working it. I think you'd be surprised how things will pay off.
Now, Josh, I think Illinois is getting pretty close to hiring a new coach. We've been tracking it, and Josh Whitman's been interviewing guys. He interviewed several candidates. You know, when they do hire a new coach and he walks in the door, who are some kids you think that he should get on right away? You know, is there anybody left in the 2021 class for this late signing period that they should take a look at? And then, you know, maybe 3 or 4 kids looking ahead into the next class, 2022, where does your first phone call go to?
Yeah, it's interesting because I was looking at, you know, who do they hire? If they hire somebody, say, from Buffalo, New York, what do you get from there? Obviously, he's had so much success with a running back position. They missed on some big running backs in state. This Marquise Irving goes up to Minnesota. And I'll tell you what, I still think Willie Shaw was a guy that should have gotten a lot more attention from a lot of teams in the
I'll tell you, Josh, a lot of people are missing on Trent Howland out of Joliet West as well. Indiana got going down to Indiana.
Well, I'll tell you this, Edgy. I don't think we've talked about it much lately, but Taj Loss, what former Northern Illinois commit, and he's a guy that we see as a Power 5 caliber player, maybe not like a elite Power 5 caliber, but he can play in the Big Ten. Yep. And if you're looking for a running back still in this 21 class, I think he's a guy I would look over.
Yeah, you mentioned the kid out of Joliet, Willie Shaw, and that was really interesting the way Illinois worked that recruitment. It didn't make a lot of sense to me because they brought him on campus for one of their one-day camps. And I don't know if you've been to those camps, but during the Lovie Smith era, the Friday Night Light camps and the one-day camps, the talent level was way down. Really disappointing, I think, the way they didn't focus on bringing some of the top talent, both from the state of Illinois and in the Midwest, to those camps. And even Tim Beckman, who flamed out badly at Illinois, wasn't a very good football coach. Even those camps during the Beckman era had way more talent than what Lovie Smith brought on campus. But getting back to Willie Shaw, they brought him in for camp. They wanted to see him run. He went through drills. They liked what they saw, and they offered him. And then for some reason, they stopped recruiting him, and he committed to Toledo. And that's kind of embodies this, the way they approach recruiting in the state of Illinois. You know, even when they did put out an early offer to a kid, the contact with them just wasn't there, and they didn't follow through on it. And like you said, Shaw's not really an every down back, I think, in the Big Ten, but he's a kid who can be an all-purpose guy and a really good athlete for you. And it didn't make a lot of sense to me. But you mentioned Buffalo. Let's talk about Lance Leipold. He's coaching in the MAC championship game tonight. That's where all the chatter and the buzz is coming from right now, from Buffalo and Lance Leipold. From a recruiting standpoint, Josh, what have you seen from him? How's he done recruiting the MAC, and what do you think he'd bring to Illinois?
Yeah, obviously being in Buffalo, I didn't see him a ton, but I definitely saw him. I mean, actually he had a presence in Michigan. Their quarterback there for a couple of years was really strong, went on to the NFL, was from Muskegon, Michigan. And so he definitely recruited the Midwest. He has some connections in the Midwest. I believe it was at Wisconsin-Whitewater before, right? I think that's where he won the D3 championship with. So, you know, and I'll tell you what, getting up into Wisconsin, not a bad idea. I mean, obviously the University of Wisconsin locks that border up pretty good, but they're the model you should be looking at if you're in Illinois. Lock down that in-state talent, that top in-state talent, and then they go out to New Jersey and just find a running back every year that wins the Doak Walker Award. So that's the type of mentality that I think, you know, he probably will bring is, you know, definitely tapping into, you know, we were talking earlier about those pipelines and developing those pipelines and finding areas that you can consistently count on for talent. I think what's interesting about him, he has one with totally different types of quarterbacks. The quarterback he has now was kind of, I remember it from high school. I played at like Stowe, Ohio. It was like just a straight drop back kind of a guy, but the kid he got on Mona Shores, 6'7", he could run, he could throw the ball a mile. He can win with kind of any type of a quarterback, it seems. I really liked that his offense is flexible. They got a running back that set the school record for rushing yards last year. So I just think, you know, that type of an offense gives you the ability to take advantage of the talent that's available to you. Get top guys, no matter really if they're ideal fits for what you do, because you know you can mold your offense around them.
Eddie, I know you know a guy or two on that staff. What do you think that the staff there would bring to Illinois?
You look at his staff with deep roots here in the state of Illinois. It's the staff. I mean, Lance Leipold, Josh, as you mentioned, really got his start at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and honestly built a power out of Whitewater. You watch them in the D3 championships every year. They're great. They're well coached. And I tell you what, it's you get the kind of talent that they've been able to get under him at Whitewater for all these years. You know, whether you got money or not, they can recruit and they could evaluate talent. And he's proven that at every single level. You look at the staff. I mean, Brian Borland, the D coordinator, he's the uncle of Tuff Borland, who's starting linebacker at Ohio State. So he has those connections certainly in this area. Rob Iannello is a guy I've known for many years, was a recruiting coordinator, I believe, under Notre Dame, under Charlie Weiss. He's recruited here for decades and is just a very familiar face in schools. Jim Zabrowski, their quarterback coach, coached at Northern Illinois for a while. He's recruited. So, again, if you're looking for that staff that has some familiarity, certainly in-state, guys, that's a great staff to start with. And then the other thing I'll throw in, and we're talking about East St. Louis, and, you know, I look at assistant coaches when they bring a new staff in, and I tell you what, I can give you a list of guys that have connections to some of these high schools that you would want to consider. Two guys that, Josh, I think you know really well. I mean, right off the top, I think of a guy like Chris James out of Morgan Park. And what about Terry Hawthorne out of East St. Louis? Two young guys, well-established. They're, you know, Illinois alums. They know the school. They know what it takes to come out of different backgrounds and succeed at Illinois. Tell you what, those would be two young guys that I think could end up being dynamic recruiters for Illinois. I think you really got to look at that, and you want to tie into some of these programs. Those are two highly qualified guys at the high school level right now that I think could end up becoming very, very good college assistants. So, again, I think Buffalo has – that staff has a lot to offer as far as just a comfort level and a recognizability level as well.
Josh, just one last question for you, and we'll wrap this up. And thank you guys for participating today. But going back, it goes back a long way to Mike White and then John Makovic. That's the last time Illinois really had a winning program. It's been a long time since they had a winning record in the Big Ten. Since then, athletic directors have went several different routes with their head coaches. They've hired from within. They've hired offensive-minded guys. They've hired young guys, old guys. Nothing really seemed to work out. And there's kind of two schools of thought, I think. You go after a young, energetic guy, like a P.J. Fleck, or you go with an established head coach like Lance Leipold. Well, what's your thoughts, Josh, on the direction you think they should go? And is there a coach out there that could succeed at Illinois?
Yeah, I think the only thing they tried going with the established guy that was something a few years ago, you know, with Lovie Smith, and it didn't work out. And that's kind of how I saw the Brett Bielema, if that was a consideration. I just, you know, what is he going to bring to Illinois that's going to revitalize that program? No, I think the direction there seems to be looking is more ideal. I mean, get the guy who's hungry, who's coming up, who is – you know, his star is rising, who has the energy to grind out and to be able to compete with these, people like a P.J. Fleck. I'll tell you what, like Tom Allen over at University of Indiana, who's building up that program. You know, those are the types of coaches that I think are going to be successful for this position in the next few years. And I think they're looking in that direction.
All right, guys, that wraps it up. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time.